Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The Wisconsin Department of Corrections is restricting the delivery of used books to people incarcerated in state prisons. The reason they give is to prevent drug smuggling. This comes a month after a Waupun prison employee pled guilty to smuggling drugs into the prison. At least 24 prison employees have been caught smuggling contraband into state prisons since 2019. Wisconsin Books to Prisoners, a nonprofit dedicated to sending free books to prisoners, says this decision only limits access to information while doing little to slow the flow of contraband. Mario Curran is an investigative reporter with Wisconsin Watch. He joins Lake Effect's Sam Woods to discuss the Department of Corrections decision.
Can you start off with the stated reasoning from Wisconsin prison officials for restricting books to prisoners?
Sure. So the Department of Corrections notified Wisconsin Books to Prisoners that they'll no longer be able to send used books into prisons because they're concerned with a stated growing number of drugs being sent in within books. Now, this is something that often looks like these synthetic chemicals, synthetic drugs such as K2 spice that you may have heard of. And the thinking is that those can be sprayed on the pages of books, and then when they get into prisons, you know, these pages can be torn off and used to, you know, get high or consume these substances that way. So the Department of Corrections wants to limit all sort of paper products that are coming in. And this is really part of a broader effort that Wisconsin Department of Corrections has taken in the past couple of years to really limit sort of the products coming in that are on paper through the mail and through, in this case, books. And so really the reason is, their stated reason is to prevent the flow of drugs into prisons, which has been shown to be a problem.
Is there evidence that restricting books stops the flow of drugs or other contraband that officials would like to keep out of prisons?
The evidence that this is an approach that works is a little bit underwhelming. Wisconsin isn't the only state that has used this approach to ostensibly stop the flow of drugs. Similar approaches have been taken in Pennsylvania, in Florida, and many states, as a matter of fact. And in Florida, what they found is, you know, they had embarked on a very similar effort to restrict the flow of paper products into prisons. And, you know, what they found in the end is they estimated they only caught, you know, a very small percent. I think 2% of all drugs coming into prisons were actually caught through these means. So while there's evidence certainly that there are drugs flowing into prisons, you know, we can see we have overdose. We can see overdoses that happen, medical emergencies. Those types of things do take place. What we don't know for sure is how effective these types of bans are for actually stopping that. In fact, the evidence doesn't really show that it's conclusively an approach that works.
So I used the phrase earlier, restricting books, but is it fair to call this a book ban?
I don't think this amounts to a book ban objectively. What this does is prohibits used books from coming in. In fact, you know, the Department of Corrections will point out that this isn't something that applies just to this organization, Wisconsin Books to Prisoners. This is part of a broader ban on used books coming into facilities, as part of a broader effort to stop drugs from coming in. But books, you know, to be fair, still can be sent in. They can be sent in through third-party retailers such as Amazon if there's a receipt. And the Department of Corrections will also point out that they do have books in their libraries. But there are those who are concerned about the broader impacts of restricting these books and see it as just another way of sort of restricting information that prisoners have access to. And so in that light, it's really sort of a restriction on prisoners' First Amendment rights, you know, the right to access information. Because when you take a step back and look at this, this is something that really does prevent them from really limit the types of educational opportunities they have, in a sense, the, you know, being able to read you know, certain titles. And this is really something that is a concern to First Amendment advocates who see this as really a restriction without proper evidence that it's needed.
Yeah, and we'll get to the impact of prisoners here in a bit, but I did want to mention that in your article, you mentioned that at least 24 correctional officers have been caught smuggling contraband into Wisconsin prisons since 2019. And last month, a Waupun prison employee pled guilty for smuggling drugs into the prison. You mentioned that this is part of a larger approach to stop the flow of drugs, stop the flow of contraband into Wisconsin prisons. Has there been any action taken to address employees smuggling drugs, like there has smuggling drugs via books?
Yeah, I think that the Department of Corrections has been a little bit less vocal on its efforts to enhance screening procedures to make sure that employees or correctional officers aren't smuggling drugs or contraband into prisons. And this is something that has been shown to be a problem. There was a federal investigation that was launched last year into a sort of smuggling ring that was suspected at Waupun Prison. And this is something that we see really pop up time and again. The records that we've obtained through the help of advocates really show that there have been at least 24 instances just since 2019 where correctional officers or other staff have been caught trying to bring contraband into prisons. While the Department of Corrections has been pretty vocal in pointing out these instances in which, you know, employees may have gotten sick from unknown substances that could be coming in through the mail, or the drugs that may have been intercepted before they get into prisons, they've been a little bit less vocal and pointed about what they're actually doing to monitor the points of entry where staff can ostensibly bring contraband into prisons, as they enter the building for work that day.
Earlier, you mentioned a group called Wisconsin Books to Prisoners. Can you explain what Wisconsin Books to Prisoners is and what they do?
Sure. So Wisconsin Books to Prisoners is a small volunteer-run organization. They have sent over 70,000 books, according to their numbers, which are free to prisoners who request them. And they've been in operation since 2006. And so they have, this isn't actually their first time facing restrictions. There was some questions around their practices in 2008, whether or not this was something the Department of Corrections wanted to continue. But after the ACLU got involved, they agreed to, adjust their policies and keep operating. It wasn't until this past August that they were notified, hey, we can no longer work with you. We're just not accepting used books in the prison. So that came really as a surprise to the organization's leaders, which, as far as they were concerned, they weren't aware of any problems or any books that had been intercepted with drugs in them. So this was really sort of a surprise to them, as they told me through interviews.
Yeah. And I know in your article, you mentioned that prison officials have said that they aren't going after the group specifically, but, quote, bad actors impersonating the group. Has Wisconsin Books to Prisoners had any response to this reasoning?
Sure. So Wisconsin Books to Prisoners was quite surprised to be notified. As far as they were concerned, they didn't know any of their books had been seized or had drugs in them. Which the Department of Corrections is now reporting. What Department of Corrections has said has been a bit confusing, to be fair. When they notified them, we can see the emails between the department and Wisconsin Books of Prisoners. And in the emails, they did not overtly state that drugs have been found in the books coming from their organization. What they said is, we're not concerned about you. Necessarily, what we're concerned about is other sort of nefarious actors who may be impersonating you, who may say we're from Wisconsin Books to Prisoners, but they have no affiliation and they just want to get drugs into prisons. So that is something that Wisconsin Books to Prisoners was also quite surprised at, and had very little evidence, was presented with very little evidence that it was an actual problem before this ban was put into place.
You mentioned earlier that people incarcerated in Wisconsin prisons do still have access to books. Can you explain the avenues of access that prisoners do still have?
Sure. So those incarcerated in Wisconsin prisons, they can have books, certain new books sent in from the outside. If a family member has means, they could send a new book through Amazon or an approved third-party retailer. As long as the receipt is there, they can get the book. many facilities also have libraries, and the Department of Corrections attests, says that these are well-stocked and has provided pictures of well-stocked libraries. What may be missed from that is that even if a facility does have a well-stocked library, you know, prisoners don't always have unfettered access to that library. They may be, you know, offered a library visit certain times per week. But then you get into situations such as a lockdown, which we've seen last at least a year at a number of prisons. And during those lockdowns, a lot of privileges are you know, relinquished. A lot of privileges aren't being offered anymore, such as library visits. So, you know, there are ostensibly a few avenues to access books. And, you know, I think it's universally agreed that reading is good, not just for the average person, but for, you know, those inside incarcerated. It's a way to learn, it's a way to better your circumstance, and just positive way of passing the time. And so I think there's widespread agreement that this is, books are a positive venue, but the access to them is sometimes limited.
I'm glad you mentioned lockdowns at Wisconsin prisons. Do these lockdowns usually include no mail delivery?
Yeah, so, you know, this is all happening. We're talking about books, but this is all happening within this broader effort to restrict, you know, paper product coming in, which includes mail. So a couple of years ago, what had happened was Department of Corrections, again, citing concerns about drugs coming into the prison, decided to reroute all mail. All mail going into prisons is now rerouted to Maryland, where it's scanned by a company called Text Behind. And the photocopies are then sent to prisoners and those incarcerated. So those incarcerated are no longer getting actual paper mail, you know, and they have, many have cited concerns about that they don't have, you know, that sort of connection to the person that was back home writing that. They can't smell the perfume on the leather. They can't see the person's handwriting the same. And so there has been this effort, an expensive one at that, to scan and photocopy mail and send that in instead of paper products. And Wisconsin Department of Corrections has spent $4 million on that in just the past couple of years. And, you know, drugs are still coming in. So it raises a serious question of whether or not this is delivering on the stated means to really stamp out the flow of drugs into prison.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about different strategies Wisconsin Department of Corrections has taken to stop the flow of drugs into prisons. And it sounds like there's a lot of either mixed evidence or lack of evidence that restricting books or rerouting mail works. Is there any evidence of a practice that does work when it comes to restricting drugs into prisons?
You know, I think, to be fair, the effort to stop drugs coming into prisons is a very complicated one. So this is something that is not an easy effort, and I want to recognize that. But I think it's one that would call for a multifaceted approach. And so, you know, if you're restricting mail or scrutinizing the mail that's coming in, restricting paper products, such as the books that may be sent in, you know, it makes less sense to not take a look at or treat as seriously the actual entry points for employees that are or may or may not be bringing those into prisons. You know, I think that Wisconsin provided a pretty interesting test case within this past couple of years, and I'll tell you why. There were a certain number of prisons, such as Waupun, that were locked down for, you know, for at least a year. And while these prisons were locked down, that meant no family was allowed to visit those who were locked up. It meant, you know, mail was not coming in. It meant the prisoners couldn't leave their cell, but for short periods of time. And so there was very limited means for drugs to enter facilities, except the employees who may have been bringing them in. And we know that they were in there because during that time, we've seen deaths through overdoses. We know that there was overdoses happening that didn't result in death. And then, of course, we have reports from the prisoners themselves that say that have told me, look, there's just drugs everywhere. I can't leave this cell without encountering it or seeing somebody smoking weed or somebody offering it to me. So, you know, I think that there's plenty of reasons to question, you know, whether or not the Department of Corrections is truly doing everything that it can to stop the flow of drugs, if that's really what it hopes to do.
So what do we look for next? What does the future hold?
I think we can expect to see more of the same, frankly. I think that these efforts will continue. I've not heard any rumblings of thoughts to turn away from the mail policies as they exist or reverse the ban on used books. What we may see, if we were hoping to see fewer drugs in the prisons, I think we would hope to see, more clear communication on what is being done to stop drugs coming in from people bringing it in. What is being done at the actual point of entry to really, not just give a glance to people coming in, but make sure that they're not bringing in contraband through their bags or lunches or, even on their person. So, I think, frankly, this is part of a trend that is not really going to change anytime soon. We'll probably see more of the same types of efforts.
Well, Mario Caran, thank you so much for joining me on Lake Effect. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Mario Caran is an investigative reporter at Wisconsin Watch. He spoke with Lake Effect Sam Woods, and you can hear more of their conversation at WUWM.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.